Greetings to you in Jesus' name. This is Steve Clark. And the next 7 days, I'm going to be sharing in the Daily Inspiration, and I count it a privilege to be able to do so. And what I'm going to do is share out of the book of 2 Timothy. It's actually going to be a book study for the next 7 days. There's four chapters in the book of 2 Timothy. And we're going to go through and look at this book, this letter to Timothy. Just as a little bit of a historical background here, Paul was in prison for his faith at the hands of Nero. Nero was the Roman ruler, and he put many Christians to death, and Paul was in prison waiting for his execution. And because Paul was a Roman citizen, he was able to, or he had the privilege of dying by getting his head cut off, which was probably a better death than being fed to the lions or being crucified on a cross. And so he was, that is the way Paul died. He had it, his head was cut off, and that's how Paul died. And he was in prison. And here in the book of 2 Timothy, it starts off with the word Paul. He's the one who wrote this letter to Timothy. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. And so here Paul, he's an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, he wasn't one of the original 12, but he was definitely an apostle. And he was, it was by the will of God that he was an apostle. God called him to be an apostle. Jesus Christ met him on the road to Damascus and gave him a commission, gave him a charge, saved his soul there on the road to Damascus. And it says here that according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, life which is in Christ Jesus. Those are beautiful words, life that is in Christ Jesus. Here in the book of 1 John chapter 5, I want to read a couple verses here. And starting with verse 11, it says, "And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." Life is in Christ, as it says here, life which is in Christ Jesus. And as it says here in 1 John, it says, "He that hath the Son hath life." And this life is in his Son, verse 11. So it's beautiful to see, if we have Christ Jesus, we have life. If we don't have Christ, we don't have life. So that's a good, do you have eternal life? Well, do you have Jesus Christ? Is he your Savior? Is he your Lord? Is he your the one you are living for? If you have life, if you have Christ, you have life. And this life is in Jesus. It says, verse 2, to Timothy. So this is who he is writing it to. And Timothy, he says, my dearly beloved son. Timothy was, it seems, one of Paul's converts. We don't actually have the verse to say that Timothy was saved under Paul's preaching, but it's likely he was. And Paul calls him his dearly beloved son. It says, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. So first of all, Paul is thankful, and that's a good thing for us to be. When we come to God in prayer, we should come with praise and with thanksgiving. And Paul wrote his letters, oftentimes his letters started with thanksgiving, something that he could be very thankful for. He says, I thank God whom I serve. And then also prayer here. He says, I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. So he prayed for this young Timothy. He prayed for him, and I'm sure even all the more as he was facing, as Paul was facing his death soon, and Timothy would carry on the work that Paul had started to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. And so he says here that he remembers him night and day in his prayers, greatly desiring to see thee. He wanted to see Timothy again. And it says, being mindful of thy tears. And I'm not sure, it doesn't tell us when he saw Timothy's tears, but maybe it was when they parted for the last time, or maybe it was when he laid his hands on Timothy and prayed for him that he would do the work of an evangelist. I don't know when it was, but he saw Timothy's tears, and he says he's mindful of his tears, that I may be filled with joy. Here he was in prison, but he was thinking of Timothy and thinking of the wonderful time they had together, preaching the gospel and going from place to place, and all the experiences they had, and all the good fellowship and close fellowship he had with Timothy, and how Timothy was a faithful brother, and he longed to be with him again. Verse 5, it says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which first dwelt in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. So here he talks about his grandmother and his mother, and he says that they had unfeigned faith, which is it doesn't have any hypocrisy in it. It's pure. It's real. It's real faith that he had, that his grandmother had, grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice, that they had this real faith, and that he is persuaded that this real faith is in Timothy also. Is that real faith in you and in I, this unfeigned faith? Verse 6, he says here, okay, let me just go back to verse 5 there. Salvation, is it inherited? Did it come through inheritance because his mother had it, his grandmother had it, now he has it? Is it part of the genes? Is it part of, you know, because they were saved, he's saved? No, it's a choice. Salvation comes not through a family in a sense, although there is great advantage to being raised in a Christian home, because you hear the gospel and your heart is changed by hearing the word of God and all of these wonderful things. But it's not inherited. It's a choice that we make. It's following Christ ourselves. We cannot be saved because our grandmother was saved. We cannot be saved because our mother was saved or our grandfather. But we have to commit our life to Christ and follow him with all of our heart ourselves. So it's not inherited. And it also says that this faith dwelt in his grandmother. It dwelt there. It wasn't just something that was here for a little while and gone. And, you know, it was like Sunday it was there and the rest of the week it wasn't. No, it dwelt there. That faith dwelt in her heart. And that's real faith. It's alive in us. It's a faith in Christ. It's a living relationship, and it's not just a one-time thing, but it's a everyday experience and privilege to be able to walk with Christ. All right, then verse 6, it says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. And in this book of 2 Timothy, there's many commands or many exhortations to Timothy. And if you have a highlighter or a underline, if you underline in your Bible, I just encourage you to maybe underline some of these things. The first one here, this exhortation is to stir up Timothy, stir up the gift of God that is in thee, that was in thee by the putting on of my hands. And as I said earlier, he was told to do the work of an evangelist, and I'm not sure all the gifts that Timothy had and what Paul prayed for him in that way, but the first one is to stir up those things. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And this is often taken out of context, this verse, but it's in context here. It's to Timothy that he would not be afraid. He wouldn't be afraid. Maybe it's to be an evangelist, to go and do what God told him to do. Don't be afraid to do those things. Don't have fear. But because God isn't the one who gives fear. Now, there is a good kind of fear, the kind that we want to instill in our children, not to touch a stove, not to run out into the street, not to, you know, get too close to on a cliff or a dangerous situation. But there's also the kind of fear that Paul is talking about here, that being anxious or worrying or fretting or the fear of man. Jesus said that, don't be anxious about things. Don't be worried about things, because God is well able to take care of us. So, exhortations to Timothy. This is that God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That sound mind, the Greek word for that is actually self-control or being self-disciplined. That he hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but of being self-disciplined. He's given us power. He's given us love. And then verse 8, it says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God. So here's a couple more exhortations. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of Christ, of God. And it says, be thou partakers of the afflictions. Verse 9, it says here, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling. God has called each one, all those that are saved, all those that are in Christ Jesus have been called. We have been predetermined or predestined to have a holy calling, that we would live holy lives, that we would not live according to the world, that we would not live a life that is in love with the world or in an unholy way at all, but we are called as in a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. In Christ Jesus. There again. Verse 10, but is now made manifest or made clearly visible by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Jesus Christ came to bring light and life and immortality through the gospel. And I am so thankful to be a Christian. I'm so thankful that light has come into this dark heart of mine, and I have the hope of eternal salvation, and that there's life because I have Christ who is our life. Jesus Christ has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Verse 11, wherefore I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which, verse 12, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. So Paul, he is not ashamed of the gospel, and that he knows who he believes in. And he's persuaded that Christ is able to keep him because he has committed his life to him until the day that he dies, that he is persuaded. I just want to read that again. He says here, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And then the last verse I'm going to stop with here today, that I'm going to read today. I'm going to stop here, but the last verse, it says, "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." So here, another exhortation. You can underline this one or highlight it. Hold fast. Hold fast the form of sound doctrine, Timothy. Hold fast the form of sound doctrine which thou hast heard of me. I've preached to you. I've taught you. Hold that fast. Don't let it slip. Don't let it slide. This gospel of Jesus Christ in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. It's in Christ, this gospel, which is in Christ, not in the ways of man or the doctrines of men, or like we heard last week by Brother Jody, where he was talking about the commandments of men, but the commandments of God. Hold fast the commandments of God. Hold fast the form of sound words. Don't hold fast those traditions of men, but hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. So that's my encouragement to us today, is to stir up and to be thou partakers and to hold fast the form of sound words. So God bless you. Lord willing, we'll talk more about out of the book of 2 Timothy tomorrow. If you want to leave a message, you can do that by pressing 099 in the mailbox, and you can leave us a voicemail. So God bless you. Have a great day in Jesus' name.